Session number 22381, Reel 3.
I'd had a bit of a problem with some shrapnel in my fingers, and I was taken to Brussels and put in hospital in Brussels. And I spent a fair bit of time in Brussels, in hospital. And one of the good things there was that we had some decent food to eat and we were being fed up. And eventually, and I don't know how long I was in the hospital there, but it could have been for a couple of weeks, I should think. I was then flown back to England and re-kitted out eventually. Flown back to Fairford, as a matter of fact, in Gloucestershire, and re-kitted out and rejoined the regiment.
And
that would have been getting on towards the end of the year. Towards December time. Remember being captured.
How long were you in hospital?
No, not long. Been there quite a while. That wouldn't have been as long.
So the war ended by then. I mean, VE Day. Where were you in VE Day? In hospital?
Yes. Yeah, I was in hospital in VE Day because you weren't there to enjoy it. Yeah. Oh, that's quite right. Yeah.
That was in Brussels still.
In Brussels still. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Before I forget, tell me about the time when you were posted missing and you weren't really at D-Day.
Well, as I explained to you, in my squadron, there was another Gibbons, and his initial was James. I'm H-A-J, although I used H, and that was John Gibbons. And he unfortunately got killed at D-Day. But somehow or other, records got mixed up. And my mother, who said was a widow, was informed that I was missing, believed killed. Now, when I rang her up, subsequently, I rang my older sister, because Mum went on the phone and said, to say that I didn't know anything about this, of course, that just to let them know that I was home and the UK and safe and well. Mm. Of course, it all came out. And 10th of July, 44. The actual document that went to Mum, I haven't got. I don't know why I'm but that was my of interest.
Well, that's from your CO, wasn't
that's,
it?
That's from the adjutant.
The adjutant, yeah. Apologising for the mix-up.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I'll make a copy of this as I the record. Rather than read it.
Okay.
The poor old mother. She must have been...
In a state and then highly relieved. But the other thing of interest... I've got here somewhere. Report has been received.
Can you start again?
Sorry.
Right.
Well, this is notification. I regret to inform you that a report has been received from the War Office to the effect that number so-and-so, Star Sergeant Gibbons, Harry Arthur James, Army Air Corps, was posted as missing on the 24th of March, 1945 in Western Europe. Now, that was when I was taken prisoner.
Oh.
Right. The report that he's missing does not necessarily mean he's been killed, etc., etc. Now, that was sent to Mum, and also, which you might find a little bit, so as a result of that, my mother was, dear madam, I have learnt with regret that you have been informed that Army number has been reported as missing. You will doubtless wish to know without delay your position regarding the allotment. I made an allotment to Mum because she was a widow. The allotment payable to you until such time as further information is forthcoming. The allotment at present being paid to you on his behalf will be continued until the 7th of October 45 at 24 and sixpence per week. What about that then? Subject to any adjustment that may be necessary as a result of further information. But it's a 24 and sixpence a week that I think you might find interesting. And they were pretty quick, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. What about your brother? Did he come through the war all right?
Yeah, Ron did. He was... Ron was an air gunner on Lancasters, but spent a lot of his time out in the East. And, yeah, Ron came through okay, yeah. But he died some years ago out in America. He went to America and he died out there.
What about your other siblings? They're all too old,
weren't they? All too old. There was... my oldest brother was Ernie. There was a lot of difference, you see, between the five born in... the five in Germany, the youngest of which was Gertrude, sister who's still alive, who was 10 years older than me, and she's still alive, so she's 89. That's right, she'd be 90 soon. The others are all dead, but so she's still alive. So there was 10 years between her, the last one, and then me being born in 1922 here, and my younger brother Ron being born in 1920. Which is a bit late in life, wasn't it, for the mother and father? Mm. All right. And Ron came through the war all right, yeah. And
Ron was born, what, 1920?
1922. I was born in 22, he was born in 24, sorry.
I thought you were born in 21.
No, I was born in 20, I was January, yeah.
January 22.
And in 20, January 22, yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Mm. And Ron was born in 24.
Yeah.
Now, the other five... were of course too old for the war, of which there was two brothers and three sisters. My oldest brother, Ernest, he was a clever lad of the family. He could speak seven languages, and he worked for tour companies, that sort of thing. And then the next one was Anna, who killed herself smoking. And then the brother Henry, who died before he was 65. And he lived in Iver. As a matter of fact, it was him that arranged for us to move to Iver. We lived in the same row as him. And then Sister Ellis, who died. And that was it. And Henry. Mm. And, yeah.
So when did you actually come out of the army? When were you discharged?
Well... 11/1/47, but in fact, I came out before. I think that was, you were still on the reserve for a couple of months, weren't you? And I came out in the November 46 I came out, but I was actually released. My actual release date was 11th of January 47, so there's exactly 5 years from January 42 to 47. So I came out. Now by this time I'd met my wife, and we were married, and there was a son on the way. And I told you I played football a lot, and I'd played football for Windsor and Eton. And I played for them during the war, so when I was home, because being in the glider pilot regiment, you spent a lot of time in the UK, not like being overseas for years. So I continued on to play for Slough Town, and I played representative football for Windsor Garrison, things like that. And when I came out of the forces, and I was married, and it was a question, where were we going to live? Do we live in the West Country, or do we go back to my part? Now, it's a funny thing, but Windsor and Eton Football Club, they said, we'll get you a place to live and that. You come and live here, you know, and that. Well, that was like skating on thin ice as far as I was concerned. It was, and...
why was that?
Well, you can only play football for a certain number of years. And, you know, it was a bit dodgy. But what, nothing very...
They were going to give you a tied cottage or something.
Something like that, yeah, yeah. Well, it was run by, funnily enough, Windsor Football Club at that time, Windsor and Eton, was run mostly by publicans. Do you know Windsor and Eton at all?
Well, I know where. Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, but as you go over the bridge into from Eton into Windsor, this side of the bridge, there's a big hotel. I'm trying to think what it's called. Les Lawford owned that. He was one of the top dogs in the. Then over the river, there's another big hotel, Red, someone owned that, and he was. So it was run by the club was run by publicans more or less, hoteliers, you know. Anyhow, we spoke about it. So what I did, it's a bit funny this. The first thing I did then was to try and find someone to play football for down here, and I wrote to Trowbridge Town Football Club, and I wrote to Chippenham, and I had Chippenham come through. Yes, we'd like you to come and have a go in football, and we can find you a job. So I came, I went to West, they found me a job at Westinghouse, and I started working with Westinghouse, where I worked till I retired, done 37 and a half years.
When you played football, I mean, were you a professional?
Now, in those days, it was amateur. I suppose, when you played in the London area, the tournament you put in the toe of your boot, you got good expenses. Mm. It was amateurs, but you got good expenses. They didn't know so much about that down there in the West Country when I came down. But shortly after I joined the town, they formed another club here called Chippenham United. And it went semi-pro. And the Western League became semi-professional. And I was offered the captaincy of the club. And I think it was £2.50 a week. And the maximum bonus was 10 bob a win and 5 bob a draw in what they called the Western League. And they had a new football ground, the town ground just across here, you can see it. They had a new ground the other side of town up here, and I joined them, and I played for Chippenham United then as a semi-pro.
How did you get involved in playing football for Windsor and Eton, though? Was that when you were at Aldermaston?
Well, no, I... Before the war, I played football for Uxbridge Town. I was only 17. I had a trial and I played for it. Funny enough, the place where we had our trials, because of Warrenside, was in RAF Uxbridge, on the RAF grounds, as a matter of fact. And I had a trial and I played for Uxbridge. And then someone said, oh, you ought to come to Windsor and Eton. They got a good club there. And I played there, and I got set, and I played for Windsor. So I played for Windsor and Eton. I was actually playing for them. I played for them before the war broke out, you see, and then I stayed on with them. And then when I was on leave, I used to, play, pick them up. They used to pick me up, and all that sort of thing.
Can I go back to your army time? So if I can ask you a personal question, I mean, when you were going into action, and when you were in action at Arnhem, what was your state of mind? Were you a quivering jelly or what?
No.
What were your feelings when you took off to go to Arnhem, fly the glider?
I tell you, I often think perhaps I'm a bit of a queer character, but I'm inclined to let things go over my head. And that's why I said to you, I know probably I've spoken more than I thought I was going to, but I can't remember all these things that people can remember. But no, I just accepted the fact, and I never once did it cross my mind that I might get shot up or anything. Nothing like that crossed my mind. I just did it, and that was it. And I suppose there were times when it got very dicey, yeah.
I mean, when your best mates are being killed beside you.
Not very nice.
Yeah.
But you just, you don't think too deeply. I don't know whether you're trained to do that or not, but I found that you somehow mustn't think too deeply. And when you see them being killed and buried right by the side of you, literally, you just somehow you try and put. Some people can't, but I'm able to push out. I mean, I think about it now.
I was going to say, has the war affected your later life?
No, I don't think so.
You don't dream about it.
I think about it, yeah. Think about it. Probably think about it before you go to sleep, but I'm able to push it to the back of my mind. Mm. Perhaps unfortunate to be able to do that.
Harry, it's a smashing interview. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Well, I was very concerned.
I got more out of you than I think you expected, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't. But I was concerned about you coming. I thought, well,
yeah.
I mean, Bill's a great friend of mine, and yeah. The family, the whole family, our son and his son, and.